See you out this morning. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I hope that as you've come here this morning, you can let go of all your fears and sorrows, and you can trust in what He says, because He made today. Amen. And today is a day that you can have fellowship with your God and with other believers, and that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Amen. So I am so glad that you're here this morning. We have a lot of great things that are coming up in this next week and in the next month. You'll notice if you open your bulletin that we have an Awana schedule in there. So you know what that means? Awana's coming up very soon. So let me just plug a couple things that will start the same week. Awana starts on September 12th. We'll do Awana registrations on Sunday, September 9th, and then Awana starts Wednesday, September 12th. Now, there's a couple other things that will start in conjunction with that, because we would like for Wednesdays to be a full family evening where the whole family can come out and have instruction in the Word all together. So we have Awana for the children. That's ages, all the young ages all the way up through fifth grade. Then we have youth group that meets on Wednesday nights. That's 6th through 12th grade. And then we're starting what's called a series for the college age called Periscope. And that will start at 6 o'clock and go till 7:30. And it's a great series on looking at your worldview through the Bible. And so it's going to be a wonderful series. And then for the adults, we have a series that we will begin on September 12th called Crisis 101. And it's just how to deal with life when crisis comes. And it's all just biblical truth. And so there are books and studies that will go with every single one of these. And so I just want to encourage you, Wednesdays in September, the whole family comes out. And we can grow together as a church. And so keep that in mind as September gets closer and closer. Well, this afternoon, we have a baptism. And the baptism takes place at 3 o'clock at the home of Ralph and Susie Balcoma. There's maps at the Welcome Center. If you just GPS their address, it will take you on a road that is closed. And you will not be able to get through to their house 100 feet from their house. And it will be very frustrating. And so the map will help you get around to the right area. The road has flooded in the past. It's not flooded currently, but it is closed. So, and then you can't miss their house because when you come in from the other direction, it dead ends at their house. Because of the road being closed. So that's today at 3 p.m. It's going to be a wonderful service. So two things that you need to remember as you come, bring a chair, okay, a folding chair or a lawn chair, and you don't have to, but it'd be great to bring a dish to pass. The meat is provided. We're having hot dogs and hamburgers, and then the drinks are provided. And so if you just if you bring a dish to pass, that would be wonderful. There is an Awana meeting on September 9th, along with the registration that's taking place. And we are in need of some more leaders. Here's what leaders do. They listen to verses, and they guide the children around to their different stations. And so if you'd like to help out with that, then they could use your help. Next Sunday, we have a potluck after the service here at the church. And it is called the Ray Berry Fest. Ray always wears a Hawaiian shirt. So it's a Hawaiian-themed potluck. So the food will be Hawaiian, and if you want to wear a Hawaiian shirt, wear your Hawaiian shirt, and you can look just like Ray. And we'll have a great time of fellowship with that. Again, the meat and beverage are supplied. You can just bring a dish to pass. We have our back-to-school backpack that we're collecting until August 19th. Which is next Sunday, and then on the 26th, we will distribute them. So if you'd like to contribute to the backpack ministry, it's always been great to help us, to be a blessing to those in the community, and so if you'd like to help with that, you can go see at the Welcome Center what may be needed more. August is also our coin collection month for World Mission. World Mission produces things that are called treasures. They're audio Bibles. And if you fill up one of those plastic containers with coins, that is enough to purchase one audio Bible. One audio Bible will reach 144 people. And so it's a great ministry, and I'm looking forward to us. Last time we were able to collect just about 100, so my goal is 100 again. So those are due on August 26th. We have the Allens that are coming in September 2nd, and we'll have a church dinner after church with the Allen family. We have a baby shower for the Cortezes coming up, and also September 22nd, we're having a combined outreach at Bronson Park with Galilee Baptist Church. It's something that's a brand new idea. In fact, WKZO, the radio station, called me this last week and said, when can you come in and do an interview with us about this? And it's really neat. They heard about it. They want to know more about it. They want the community to know about it. And I'm really excited that the whole goal of this outreach is to show that black, white, Hispanic, Asian, no matter what the ethnicity, we are all one in Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot of talk about racial divide. And you know what? As a church, we get to do something positive to help bridge that gap. And so this is it's a powerful event. We could use your help with this. You say, well, what can I do? We need people to man bounce houses, to face paint, to distribute food, to help hand out water. We have a prayer station just sit and pray with people. We have some EMS services will be there. We need someone to just greet people and help introduce them to the EMS people. There's just a lot of different things. You can sign up at the Welcome Center, and even if you don't plan to come work that day on September 22nd at Bronson Park, at least show up, bring your family to enjoy in the fun, and help us as we communicate to Kalamazoo that Jesus Christ, he brings unity within all the races. And so I'm really excited about it. Now, our two choirs, Galilee Baptist Church and our choir, are combining for some specials that week. Even if you don't sing in the choir currently, but you'd like to be part of that, then we are inviting you to come out and join, because you'll just have a wonderful time. There will be two practices. We're still trying to get coordinated with their choir. As soon as we do have those dates, we will get them to you, and it's going to be a really fantastic event. All right, for the rest of the announcements, please read your bulletin. A lot of stuff going on, isn't there? You know what? That is good, because it means that our God is at work, and we get to be part of all that he's doing. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much that you are a God who loves us. There's not a person here this morning that's here by accident. There is not a person here this morning who is outside of the umbrella of your love. And Lord, I don't know where each person is in their relationship with you, but if anyone here has never trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning they would see your grace. They would see how mighty you are. And especially, Lord, as we talk about your return, that they would understand that you are a God who is very active in the lives of all your people. And so if anyone here has never trusted you, I pray even right now in the quietness of these moments that they would call out to you, the God who sent his only son so that you could die for their sins, bring redemption, purchase them back from all of their wrongs that they've committed against you. And then, Lord, that you could promise to them eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful fact that each one of us can come to you in faith. And Lord, as we have some opportunity to sing, to give, to fellowship, and to hear from your word, God, we want you to be great this morning. And so let all that's done this morning bring praise and glory to your precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
We will continue this at the baptismal service today, but for now we'll sing. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Desert place, though I walk through the wilderness.
know, from time to time when we change keys and that kind of thing, and we do this little uncomfortable pause filling that we have because the musicians are doing something. So they asked me to say something between these two songs. And I wasn't going to say much until the song that we just sang. Holy, holy, holy. You know, in our day and age, if we want to emphasize something, we'll underline it. We'll bold it. We'll italicize, right? They didn't have that back then. So when they wanted to emphasize something, they would repeat it. Jesus would say, verily, verily, right? Truly, truly. So he would repeat things. Holiness is an attribute of God. It's the only one in the Bible repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. And if we open our eyes, open our hearts to the Lord, we won't find any problem finding a reason to thank him as we sing 10,000 reasons.
Song.
seated. Ushers, come forward, please.
Before you today, I just say thank you. Thank you for being an awesome God who forgives us for the many times that we fail you, Lord. And just pray that you would just continue to bless this church. Just use this offering to build your kingdom, Lord. And I just again want to say thank you for being the true living God that you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, choir. And as what they just sang, it's a little bit what our message is about this morning. Christ is coming back, and it's going to be a great day when he does. At this time, we'll dismiss all the children to Children's Church. And as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Thessalonians, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A teacher asked her students to use the word beans in a sentence. One girl rose her hand, and the teacher called on her and said, "My father grows beans." A little boy rose his hand, and she didn't want to call him the little boy because he didn't quite always get the right answer. So she called on another boy, and the other boy said, "My mother cooks beans." And the teacher said, "Very good." The other boy kept raising his hand, so she said, "Okay, what do you have for us?" And he said, "We are all human beings." In chapters 1, 2, and 3 in 1 Thessalonians, Paul spoke about the coming of the Lord. In verse 10 in chapter 1, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." There, the reference point is to waiting for his Son from heaven. In chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And then in chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." The context of the ideas that Paul will share with us in chapter 4 in verse 13, it's all about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 4 in verse 13 it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Now back in chapter 3 in verse 13, it told us that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So now what Paul is doing here in chapter 4 is he's explaining who those saints are. See, people die in this world, and the question is always, what happened? And then, what's next? And that's been the question throughout all eternity and all time. Ever since man sinned and death came into the world, people have been dying. And because of sin, the question is always in people's minds, what happens to them? Well, here we see that there is a promise that's given. He says, Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have passed. And that we don't sorrow as others that are hopeless." There's a lot of hopelessness in this world, isn't there? Turn on the news for 5 minutes. I don't care what news outlet you listen to. And there's a lot of hopelessness. And Paul tells a church in Thessalonica who's going through severe sufferings. We've looked at that the last 3 weeks, that they've been going through hard times. And he says, we don't need to sorrow as people that are hopeless. We have a hope. So then in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Now, our hope is conditional. I was at a funeral for a little girl. She was 4 years old. She had come to our Awana program when we were in Waterford, Michigan. I was the youth pastor there, and this little girl drowned at a family party. And so the funeral was just a very difficult funeral. Well, I did it in conjunction with, because she went to Arwana, they wanted me to be part of it. But then she had been baptized as an infant at a Lutheran church, and so they had that Lutheran minister there as well. And he stood up and he said, "Our hope is in the fact that I baptized her when she was born." And I just about jumped out of my chair. It was a good thing I got to speak second. Because I got up and I said, our hope is not in anything that she or her parents did. Our hope is in that Jesus died, was buried and rose again. And in Awana, she confessed that, she believed that. That's where our hope lies. The world does not have that hope. The first thing that you hear from someone who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll hear their loved ones, they'll say, well, they're a really good person. God will let them into heaven because, boy, they did a lot of good things. And that's not the truth. These saints that were talked about in chapter 3, verse 13, the dead who are in Christ here in chapter 4, the hope is they believed that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And so let's continue in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We've heard it's become cliche when someone dies. Well, we'll see him again, right? It's become very cliche. It is a truth, though. But it is only a truth because at the beginning of verse 14, there is a conditional phrase put on it, if we believe. So then in chapter 15, in verse 15, it says this, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So those who are asleep, let's talk about that for a second. What does it mean that they're asleep? Those who have died, their bodies are put into the ground. Or they've been cremated and their ashes have been put in a bowl or been scattered. Either way, their body is still on this earth. What does their body do? In a sense that Jesus used to help people understand the state of the person, is their body is asleep. What about their soul? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So here's the true definition of death, okay? Death is not my heart stopped beating, or I lost brain activity. That's not the definition of death. The definition of death is the soul has departed from the body and is now with the Lord. That's the definition of death. Now, the Bible uses the term sleep to help us to understand the state of our body. See, we were created to be eternal beings. God did not create us to be temporary beings, but eternal. When sin came into the world, death came into the world by sin. So death passes to every man because every person sins. And because of this death, these bodies, they give out on us. And we take these bodies, we put them in the ground, cremate them, and the remain of the body is here on the earth. But the soul is with the Lord. So when the Lord returns with his saints, the saints' bodies are still here on this planet. Their souls are with the Lord. So when he returns with them, how are they returning? Their soul is returning with him. Okay? That's the reference of all this. Their body has been asleep. Their soul has been alive and conscious with the Lord. But that's only for the believer. See, in the book of Luke, Jesus tells us a parable, and he talks about two different people. Now, this is before Jesus had gone to heaven and created heaven to be a place for the dead souls to go and to live. But he describes what happens to the unbeliever. There's a rich man who died, and he awoke in torments. He awoke in flames of fire in hell. You see, either our soul is with the Lord, or our soul begins in torments. Those who have never trusted, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection, they are not with the Lord. They do not come with the saints. I had a young man tell me one time, I was preaching at a camp, and there were 8 through 11-year-olds, and the young man said, I know that my grandpa wasn't saved, and so I don't want to get saved because I want to be with him. What a sweet, tender heart. But you know the only promise to see your dead loved one again? First of all, I can't tell you for sure who is a believer and who is not. And I can't tell you at what point someone has believed and when they haven't. I have prayed on the deathbed with some people. And maybe their family, there are times I've done funerals, their family had no idea. And right on their deathbed, they confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know what our God does? He saves. Just like he did that thief on the cross. He saves. And so we don't know who will be with the Lord as his saints. But what we do know is that those who are with him are the only ones we will be able to see. Those who are not with him, even if you don't believe, it's not like hell is this place where you hang around and you party. Hell is this place where you live in isolation and torment. And so the only way to know that you can see your loved one again is if you yourself believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's go back to verse 15 in 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You can't say anything in any stronger manner than to say it by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those who have died and their souls are with the Lord, they will get resurrected first. As the choir is saying about Lazarus and his resurrection. Okay, that was an earthly bodily resurrection. This resurrection that's talked about in this passage is a bodily resurrection. You say, okay, but what about the cremated person? They can't be resurrected because their body got burned up. Okay, what is too hard for your God? You know what would be cool? Somebody who was like cremated and they're scattered and they got remains, you know, all over. And God takes those remains and forms them back together. And their body physically is resurrected. How cool will that be? How scary will that be if you're not a believer? You see all these bodies coming up out of the grave, going to resurrect. And when they're resurrected, soul meets body. New body, perfected body. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. In John 14, it says this. Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. See, this is a truth we have to believe about Jesus. He died, he was buried, he rose again. After his resurrection, he appeared to over 500 people, and then he went up to heaven. But he says, I will come again. And here's what he says. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Acts chapter 1, in verses 9 through 11. In verse 8, he had just told his disciples, he said, go be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And then he goes up into heaven. And as he goes up into heaven, verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the disciples, they were looking at, wow, he's going up into heaven. And the angels were like, okay, don't just stand here looking up into the sky. Go out and do what he said, because he will come back. And he will come back on the clouds, just like he went away. So now back in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it tells us this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The gathering of the dead allows for their spirit to be joined with their body. a bodily resurrection. The living are gathered and they receive a new body as well. So if we are here on the earth, when the Lord comes back and he receives those who have died, they get the body, gets formed back perfectly, meets with the soul, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up too to meet him in the air. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, it mentions the same thing. It says this, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." In Mark 13, 26, it says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." This is the promise. A trumpet will sound someday. When will it sound? You have to come back next week, okay? When will it sound? Yeah, that's up to God. It's not up to us. It doesn't matter what we believe about it. When God does it, that's when it will happen. But we'll talk about that next week. But here's what we know. A trumpet will sound, right? We can all agree on that. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And the Lord himself, this is so neat. He doesn't like wait up in heaven to be like, "All right, I'll wait for you to get here." No, he comes in the clouds to meet us. In Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." You see, because the people who aren't caught up, they're still on the earth to face the most difficult time that this world has ever seen. So the day that these passages are talking about, with Christ returning in the clouds, with the sound of a trumpet, the dead believer gathered first, then the living gathered together, the day that this passage is talking about is called the Day of Christ. All right, this is important, because next week we're going to talk about the Day of the Lord. Totally different day, okay? So we need to get this one down first, the Day of Christ. In Philippians 1:10, it says, "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Because the day of Christ is when he sounds the trumpet and he sends his angels and they gather together the believers to him in the clouds. That's the day of Christ. In Philippians 2:16, it says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." 1 Corinthians 1:8, "Who shall also confirm unto you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's the thing. Christ is coming back. And it's a great day. It is a wonderful day. We should be excited for that day. We should be looking forward to that day. We should anticipate that day, because he is coming back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it gives us another view of when he returns. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." This is to the believer, those who believe that Jesus died and rose again. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." All right, everybody, twinkle your eye real quick. No, the blink is slower than the twinkle, because the twinkle is the involuntary spasm of the eye that it's so quick that your eyelid closes and or opens and closes. Listen, it's going to be, boom, it's done. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound." Do you get that? The trumpet is going to sound. I read an article. It was by someone who claimed to be a Christian. And they said, "It's been 2,000 years. The trumpet hasn't sounded. We missed it." Okay, God's trumpet is not like our trumpets. His trumpet is not confined to the ears of those who are in the vicinity. I'll tell you what, when that trumpet sounds, we will know. We'll know because we'll be, woo, gone. But the world will know, and the world will see that, and they will fear. and the world will be disturbed. Back to verse 52 in 1 Corinthians 51. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Just like it was stated in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead changed incorruptible first, and then we, it doesn't say we are alive here, but the idea in the language is then we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Because right now, in this earth, death has the victory, doesn't it? Because every time somebody dies, we're reminded of sin. Every time somebody dies, we're reminded that death brings about sin. But you know, when Christ returns, he says, I'm making a new pattern of things. Death will be swallowed up in my victory. Because all those who sleep in the ground will be caught up together and changed. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me give you two things about the day of Christ. The day of Christ is to be celebrated. Celebrate that day. And the day of Christ is victory. Complete, total victory. Now I'm going to give you a preview of things to come. We have to go over to 2 Thessalonians, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's like, all right, I'm going to talk to you about this thing that I've already talked to you about in the first epistle. Okay, he didn't give chapter and verses, but in chapter 4, the passage we just read, he says, I'm going to write to you about these things, okay? And he writes this as a response to the confusion that came from what he wrote in the first epistle, because there were many people in Thessalonica that were saying they had missed the second coming. Somehow the trumpet blew and the dead were raised and the believers were gathered, and somehow they missed it. And there are people that were teaching, we missed it. Okay. Paul's like, no, you didn't miss it. You know, though, there are a lot of groups on this earth right now that are teaching that we missed it. There are some people that are teaching that we live in the millennium right now. The millennium is a 1,000-year reign of Christ, where he makes all things new, and the lion lays next to the ox, and the wolf will lay with the lamb, and a child will reach their hand into a scorpion's nest and won't get bit, or a snake won't bite them. And they say, we're living in that time. And I'm like, whoa. No, we're not. We didn't miss it. Well, the same thing was happening during Paul's day. He wrote the letter, the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and some people started saying, oh, we missed it. They started to bemoan the fact that they had not been gathered together to Jesus. And so in 2 Thessalonians, he writes to clarify the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. And he says in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Which, the day of Christ, to be at hand means it's still to come. Okay? Hasn't happened yet. It's still to come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come and falling away first, and that man is soon to be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, they did not miss the coming of Jesus Christ. They did not miss the gathering. And he says there are things that have to happen, and we're gonna worry about all that when we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's the point: they had not missed it. And you know what, folks? We have not missed it. It is still to come. Many have prophesied that it's taken place already, but folks, let me just tell you the truth: we are still waiting for his return. It's on its way. Now, how does the second coming of Christ work? Thessalonians is clearly describing his coming. It says it in 1 Thessalonians 4. And in verse 15, it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." This is clearly all about the coming of the Lord. So, how does this coming work? Well, it's a two-phased event. Phase one, he comes back in the clouds, sounding a trumpet, and gathering the dead in Christ first, and then the living believers. So, phase one is, whoop, meet him in the clouds. Okay? Everybody do that with me. Whoop, meet him in the clouds. Okay? That's phase one of his coming. Phase two, and there's time period that takes place between phase one and phase two. Phase two is, boom, he sets his feet on the earth. Phase one is, whoop, we go. We meet him in the clouds. Phase two, his feet touch the ground. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 14, when he hits the ground, the Mount of Olives splits in half. I tell you what, bad things are happening when that happens. Because Christ comes, his believers have been taken away, and he comes to establish his kingdom with a rod of iron, and the tribes of the earth mourn. So what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, we will see our dead loved ones again. Praise God. Those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, we will see them again. In fact, that's verse 18. He tells us that's why this is written to us. Comfort one another with these words. Number two, we will spend eternity with Christ. I don't know if there's any more comforting thing there is to say. We will spend eternity with Christ. It's good enough to spend eternity with our loved ones. That's pretty great. But we get to spend eternity with our Redeemer, our Savior, our Creator. We get to spend eternity with him. And then thirdly, knowing of Christ's return, just knowing that he is coming back, that's a comfort to us. Because what it does is it validates everything that the Bible says. There are people that are critical of the scriptures that say, well, it says it's at hand, so and it's been 2,000 years and it hasn't happened. And so God is not slack concerning his promises. God does what he says he will do. And you know what? It hasn't happened yet. It's still at hand. It's coming. And here's the application for you. If you don't know Christ, you need to be ready. Because the earth will mourn. The Bible tells us that the people that are on the earth will go through a time where it's like a woman in labor pain. The amount of suffering that will take place on this earth with those who are still here. And so you don't want to miss this coming. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he died for you. He died in your place so you don't have to die for your sins. Sure, your body will sleep, but your soul will be with him. And someday, soul and body will meet together in the clouds, and you will be with your loved ones, and you will be with your Lord forevermore. So if you've never trusted him, as we close out the service, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Christ as your Savior. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, here's a thought that should be running through your mind. It is well with my soul. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it brings comfort, it brings peace, but also, Lord, it is truth. It is 100% absolutely correct. Everything you say will happen. And I thank you, Lord, that you promise to us that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that we will see our dead loved ones someday and that we will have an eternity with you in heaven. Lord, comfort our hearts with these words. And for any who have never trusted you, I pray that today, right now, they would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this song together. It is well with my soul. Today. I thank you, Lord, that we can find the hope that you want each one of us to carry every day with us, that it can be well because we know that our God is coming back. And Lord, that you have not appointed us unto wrath, but you have appointed us unto your glory and your grace. So we love you. We tell you, Lord, that this morning we want our hearts, our souls, our lives to be poured out to you. You are the great God. You are the one and only. You are the only one who could prepare this great of a plan that you would reclaim your own. And also, Lord, you would reclaim this earth. And so until that day comes, we will echo with heaven as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise be to you, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." The Lord bless you. Serve him.